And welcome to Geekish Lesson Extra. I'm Jason M, and she's Ashley Victoria Robinson. I cut her off so you can't hear her. Here's a lot of songs.
I wish you could have seen at the end of the main episode.
Yes.
Your face.
Why?
When you were doing your Joker impression.
Oh, because I was being the Joker?
You were very into it. Yeah. I wish the listeners could have seen it. Like when you were like, what would Harley do? You were like truly staring, like really having that moment. It was a great acting moment.
You got to act when you're doing voice acting, still acting. Baby.
I know. No, it was a real treat for me that no one else. It's ephemeral. Right. It's gone now.
I just got to say it as well. Of course, we're talking about the Joker because we talked about Joker in the main episode. Ashley had no idea what was happening when I was forcing her to do a Batman impression. She literally turned bright red like an orange and could not speak on mic.
It's bad because you're really good at impressions and I am trash at impressions.
What do you think of my Joker? It's sort of a weird mix between John DiMaggio and Mark Hamill.
Your Joker, I think, is closer to Mark Hamill. I think it's good.
I'm trying to make it weirder because it's hard not to just do Mark Hamill.
I like John DiMaggio's Joker a lot. I didn't... I know we didn't include him in the 10 cent origin when we were listing off famous portrayals.
There's too many Jokers.
But he's only Joker in The Killing Joke. And it's a very...
No, Under the Red Hood.
Yes.
Mark Hamill is who voices The Killing Joke.
Yeah, he's only the voice of the Joker in one of those movies that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and while I really like what he does, I don't think he's a definitive Joker.
No. All right, so we're going to talk about, right now, should the Joker... go back in the toy box. Should the Joker disappear from comics for a while? Now, we have actually brought this up a lot. We've repeatedly stated it. I think we even had this discussion in a main episode, but I want to have it talking again because we have this big Joker movie going out. The Joker's currently in comic books right now. He's part of Scott Snyder's Justice League comics. The Joker basically has not left comic books
since he came back in the 70s.
No, because he disappeared. Okay, so let's sort of talk about that. Okay, so let's talk about post-crisis. The Joker's around the late 80s because of Death of the Family, Killing Joke, stuff like that. He does show up in Night Quest, but when he shows up in Night Quest, he kind of hadn't been around for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes away again. And then I don't think he shows up until Tim gets a solo series. He shows up in it because one of them is The Joker's Wild,
which is that's his third miniseries that leads into the main series.
And then again, and then for like I think the next 8 years or 7 years until No Man's Land,
the second one. I can't remember which one Cry Huntress.
The Joker will pop up for like a 3-issue storyline, and then he'll just go away, and you won't see him for a while. But then I think it's post No Man's Land where the Joker's just always around in one of the books doing something.
Well, and I'm gonna say this. In the New 52, every other storyline
was Joker.
Was the Joker or some revelation about the Joker.
And it was
this is
multiple
the Joker's
books.
Real origin. Yeah, and like that was about the time that I started working in comics during the New 52. So like I truly feel like the Joker has always been around. And part of that is just his prominence in popular culture as because I've only existed post Batman 89. So he's always been a big part of that zeitgeist. Mm-hmm. I very much think we could use a sabbatical from the Joker. I think, as illustrated by the last episode with you and Sal and several of our lessons in the past, I think there are some fantastically interesting villains who could use thousands of issues dedicated to developing them the way the Joker's been. I think Riddler is like the number one character who is on the precipice of becoming really scary and really compelling. And no one quite... gets him there.
He needs a movie is what his problem. He needs an actual good movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if he actually gets a good movie, I think he'll get there.
There was, right after The Dark Knight, there was all of these persistent rumors that Johnny Depp was going to play the Joker.
And I heard Leo DiCaprio.
And that was right after Jack Sparrow, the first Pirates movie. So I just think Batman is richer than the Joker. Honestly, and they'll never do it now because of the place he holds in pop culture. And Jason and I talk about Hot Topic heroes all the time. He exemplifies that. But I think there's just more to mine. And I think if he went away for 5 years, I think we'd all be okay.
I agree.
I think we would all survive, you know?
Well, again, there's always these rumors and I've had it soft confirmed that right around No Man's Land, even right before No Man's Land or right after No Man's Land, there was a story that was going to be this big event that was going to be the death
yes.
of the Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And it was spearheaded by Chuck Dixon. And the idea was that they were going to kill the Joker and then say that nobody could use the Joker for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were going to bring him back. And I'd always heard that the title of that storyline was The Last Laugh. Which
what a great title.
Well, there is a storyline in DC Comics called The Last Laugh.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it happens later. It's actually a Superman story by Jeff Loeb that happens in 2003. And it's where the Joker steals the powers of Mr. Mixel Spitlick and turns every villain in the DC universe into a Jokerized version of themselves. It became a limelight. It's not great. But that also leads into Emperor Joker.
Oh, yes.
But that's that you could tell like they kept that title.
I will put a link to that in the show notes.
Emperor Joker.
Emperor Joker and The Last Laugh, if that strikes anyone's interest.
Yes. So DC kind of kept that title going. But yeah, I think it would be. I just think it'd be such a good thing. Yeah. To let him go away, to let him be scary again, because, yeah, there are enough Batman villains.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I would even say that now we've had so many issues of Harley Quinn as a solo title. Like, I'm actually, to be honest with you, I'm kind of glad that Harley Quinn is kind of blown up. And I'm
that
kinda
she's not just Joker's, forgive the phrase,
girlfriend?
Bimbo anymore.
Bimbo girlfriend,
yeah.
Yes.
I think calling her his girlfriend is too generous.
Well, because now I think Harley is so separate of the Joker that she has become her own independent character. I think she now doesn't need the Joker.
I agree.
The Joker is just part of her origin.
I actually, I know this is not a Harley Quinn episode. We did that ages and ages ago before we did Geek History Lesson Extra. I think Harley Quinn is most interesting when she is not with the Joker.
I agree.
And I like it actually better when they play her like in Injustice,
mm-hmm.
where like she's trying to do good, but she's just so bad at it.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting.
They play on the similar thing in Batman, The White Knight.
Well, I haven't read that and I don't know if I'm going to.
That's a good storyline. It's a heavy Joker storyline, but it's an alternate history, which is the reason why we didn't talk about it in the main episode.
Should I put it in the recommended reading?
Yeah, you should.
Since I haven't made the yep. website post yet.
Yep, Batman The Last Laugh.
Okay.
Or no, Batman The White Knight.
White Knight.
Yeah, you should.
Tell our listeners what your thoughts are on that.
On Batman The White
yeah,
Knight?
Yeah, and why they should consider checking it out.
Because it's an interesting idea to say that the Joker gets cured somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting idea that the Joker cured is just as dangerous to Batman as he is insane. Because the interesting thing about the Batman The White Knight is that the Joker like fights Batman, but then he decides to go through therapy and get this experimental surgery to cure himself because he's tired. I can't remember what the inciting incident is, but the inciting incident of the comic is that the Joker and Batman are fighting, and then Batman does something to Joker, and Joker's like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm your main villain. Like, what are you doing?
Mm.
And so the Joker, like, does this whole, like, monologue where he's like, oh, I thought we were together in this. I thought we were having fun. Oh, if you're not having fun, then I'm just going to beat you. And he's like,
so they break up.
So they, yes, it is a Joker breakup. And so the Joker's like, well, I'm going to beat you, but I'm going to beat you in the way that you can't even beat me within the law.
Mm-hmm.
And so he does this surgery. He becomes the city council member and he becomes the head of city council of Gotham. And by doing that, he's able to enact all these laws that make Batman illegal.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole storyline is this interesting, and that's why it's such an interesting story, because Sean Gordon Murphy, who's the artist and writer of it,
mm-hmm.
not really well known for his writing.
This was, I think, it might have been the first
it's
thing.
Not yet, his first thing.
But it's the first thing he's written that's of this scale, I guess.
Well, his story, Punk Rock Jesus, is pretty good.
Yeah, but that's an indie book.
And that's before this.
Yes.
But I would say this is like his fourth or fifth thing he's ever written, and mm-hmm. It's such an interesting idea. It's a heady concept to tackle this idea that, you know, everybody in Gotham is like, well, this guy, because he calls him Jack Napier.
Sure, why not?
He just takes the
why
name.
Why not?
And so he calls him Jack, and it's the idea that Jack Napier is so compelling. He's so smart because the Joker's smart, right? That he's able to convince most of Gotham. And most of Gotham is like, yeah, I mean, I know he was the Joker, but like his ideas are really good.
But also think about it as a former sociopath. One thing that I'm not a psychologist, sure. I don't pretend to be. One thing that we all kind of know about sociopaths is they're very manipulative, but they're very charming. Mm-hmm. So even if he was cured of that sociopathy, that would still be something that he's very attuned to.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great storyline with great art. It has some problematic aspects to it, but I think those are just rough edges because, you know, Sean Gerwin Murphy is more of an artist
than he's a writer.
Mm-hmm. But I think overall it really works. I was surprised at how good it was. And it introduces this grand idea, which I love, is that there are two Harley Quinns.
Yes, I remember
and
that.
So it's the idea that the original Harley Quinn looks like the animated series with a full body starking. And then the second Harley Quinn happened during the New 52 mm-hmm. when it became what is commonly referred to as Hooker Harley.
Yeah.
And so when he becomes Jack Napier, the original Harley Quinn comes back and like beats the crap out of the Hooker Harley. Mm-hmm. And then because she's the Harley that actually loves him.
Yeah.
Whereas the other Harley is sort of just like, I'm in it for the fame, baby.
Yeah.
The Hooker Harley becomes the villain. She renames herself something different. I can't remember what she calls herself, but she becomes the villain of the book.
So, I didn't read that book because of something that came out about one of the early issues. It was just a taste thing. But those are the kind of stories that I am, like, in theory, more interested in telling about the Joker. I think the Joker is more interesting almost in, like, an Earth One capacity. Like,
I don't know what you mean by that.
So the Earth One
books. Oh, you mean like
books,
the graphic novels.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. The Earth One books, right, are completely devoid of continuity. And because they're set in their own world and don't have to truly do anything.
And the Joker has not appeared in either one of those.
That's right. Except Cell, they're allowed to explore different ideas or different aspects of the characters that aren't on display in the regular continuity. And I think moments like that, and I think this is why people attach to The Dark Knight and why people attach to The Killing Joke and why people attach to the Brian Azzarello Joker, all the best Joker stories are standalones.
They are.
And they examine a specific aspect of his personality. I don't know if the Joker works as an ongoing serialized Batman villain anymore.
Well, it's because the Joker has now gotten to the point where he's actually killed and severely hurt members of the Bat family.
Beloved characters.
Not once, but multiple times. Mm-hmm. I didn't talk about this in the main storyline. During one of the crazy, kooky Scott Snyder stories, the Joker chopped off Alfred's hand.
Yes, yeah.
And Alfred was missing his hand for most of the Scott Snyder run until Rebirth.
We talked about that in our Alfred lesson.
Well, in Rebirth, it was back.
Yeah.
There was like, it didn't happen, which I kind of agree with. But
yeah.
Now, the Joker is so dangerous at this point that now it becomes ridiculous that Batman hasn't killed him.
Do you think if Batman were real, do you think Batman should kill the Joker?
Well, I think corporal punishment is wrong all around.
Mm-hmm. You can leave it at that. That's a fine statement.
You know, here's the thing. Anybody that dresses up like a bat is also kind of crazy.
Batman should also probably be thrown in jail.
Batman is crazy.
Yeah.
He's a psychopath.
Yeah.
I think he would have by mm-hmm. now.
Okay, that's fair. Should out of it. Do you think he would have? That's a less morally questionable line of thinking.
He would have by now, yes.
All the members of the Bat family are slightly psychotic. Like all the Robins and all the Batgirls.
They're not all slightly psychotic. They all have mental problems, though. Mm-hmm. Because why would you do that?
Yeah.
Because, the problem with adapting superheroes into live action, mm-hmm. because they look like us.
Yeah.
And we like to think that movies are the real world. They're not. But we like to think that they are.
Mm-hmm.
Some that like, oh, that could be the world right outside my window.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that, and it's a problem that every live action superhero movie has, is you have to convince the audience, where's the break in the brain that makes that character go, you know what? I'm going to put on this weird looking costume made of metal, made of tights, made of bulletproof
Kevlar.
Body armor, and I'm going to go wander around until I can find somebody to punch. And hopefully they're a bad guy. Sometimes they won't be.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm not a police officer. Also, because I'm not a judge. So, like, I could punch somebody who's completely innocent.
Yeah.
And that's going to be okay.
Yeah. Like, and I'm going to be actually more celebrated by my community than demonized.
Yeah, like,
again, Gotham likes Batman.
Well, that's a problematic thing, like, mm-hmm. where it's like, okay, that is, you know, I mean, it's also the idea that, like, Gotham City is looked at as this hive of scum and villainy.
Gotham City must be a shithole.
Yes. That's the thing I've had. Like, it is constantly talked about how Gotham City is just, is a piece of crap. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the thing. Logically, you cannot write Gotham City like that, because if you did, everybody would just leave.
Yeah.
So there has to be something in Gotham City that keeps people there. Mm-hmm. Like, it has to be like Wayne Industries is such an amazing company to work for.
Yeah.
Like, Wayne Industries is like working for Google. Like, man, every one of his buildings has this amazing bar. Mm-hmm. You have so many perks that, like, I can deal with living in the insanity of being killed by the Mad Hatter every Thursday because Bruce Wayne gives me espresso, free espresso.
Yeah.
and a perks package, mm-hmm. you know? You have to write it like that, because if Gotham City is the real shithole, nobody would live there.
Well, and then you'd be like, why wouldn't you just go to Metropolis?
Yeah, because Metropolis seems
is future
amazing.
Science city, and Superman's hot, so, like, what more do you want?
I actually think Metropolis has a high wealth to poverty ratio, thanks to Lex Luthor.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah.
You think there's, like, no middle class?
No, there is no middle class in Metropolis.
It's Los Angeles.
Yeah. That's, I mean, Metropolis is the only place in fictional comic books history that has a suburb called Suicide Slum.
Do you think...
Which is pretty harsh.
Do you think the rents are, like, out of control in Metropolis? Do you think it's, like, New York level bad? Like, are you paying a lot of money for a closet?
Yes. Yes, you are. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Gotham's like Detroit. You can rent a mansion for like $100 a month.
No, I think that Gotham City is like almost in an abandoned downtown. You know, it's like one of those cities. Uh-huh. You know those cities, yes. Like, where there's all these tall buildings downtown, but when you talk to your friends, you're like, hey, what's downtown? Nothing.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that's downtown are the offices mm-hmm. that people work at, which are probably mostly going to be owned by Wayne.
Yeah.
And some are going to be owned by...
Luther will have a handful
Luther
of them.
There is a Luther Corp. There's a Star Labs in Gotham City, but there's also a Powers International, which is a Batman Beyond reference, everybody. There is one of those that is actually in continuity now. But otherwise, like, this is my idea of the geography of Gotham City is a downtown where there's nothing but office buildings. Mm-hmm. Hardly anybody lives down there. Only people like Bruce Wayne live.
Have a penthouse down there. Yeah.
Then right around downtown, because the downtown area is kind of crazy, is just like 5 miles in every direction of abandoned yet active warehouses.
But Selina lives, I think Selina's like, wherever she squats,
yes,
is somewhere in downtown.
Oh, Selina lives in an apartment that she doesn't own.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
like
a penthouse.
Well, the dude always lives in France, and she knows exactly what days he comes back.
Yeah.
So she sleeps there. So it's like this guy comes back and it's like, oh, the help didn't make my bed again. You know? But then around downtown is just like semi-active, like crappy warehouses, because mm-hmm. these are all the warehouses where Batman and the villains have their fights.
Yeah, totally. And all the boxes they're falling into. Yeah.
And then one section of that leads directly to the docks, because there's always like weird stuff
harbor,
in the docks.
Yeah.
And then outside that is like a suburban-y Queens.
Gotham also has like a thriving art scene, right? Like, there's always galas, there's always balls, there's ballet,
which happens in art galleries. In that weird downtown area.
That's so funny.
Yeah, it's downtown, and then it's like 5 miles of shitty warehouses, and then it's normal houses, and then if you drive the 10 miles through those houses, you get out into Staten Island, and that's where Bruce Wayne lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's my geography of Gotham City, which has nothing to do with the Joker, but there you go.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for listening.
Yep. Oh, and then there's a giant and abandoned...
There's an abandoned chemical factory there as well.
Well, the Ace Chemicals went bankrupt right before the Joker. That's why the vats of chemicals were always there. Ace Chemicals is actually in many Batman storylines. I can't remember. And then there's an abandoned Haley's Ferris Circle and Carnival Ground that's just always there because we see so many Batman storylines in an amusement park. So that tells me that it has to stay there.
Dick takes all his first dates there.
Oh, look at the roller coaster. See, I can turn it on. Zip, zip, zip. So, all right, it's been a long extra.
Yeah.
I think we're going to say goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you for all your support, everybody out there. We really appreciate it, and enjoy everything. Bye-bye, super friends.
Bye.